Tony, I'm a developer whose coworker today, who's also a developer, asked me how to free up some space on his C drive because he didn't know what to do.
Delete the porn.
What?
Yeah. He sent me a screenshot of his C drive and his E drive. His C drive had 100 meg free and it was just red. And his E drive had like 200 gig free. And he's like, do you have any advice on how I should handle this?
Was this his work computer?
Yeah. I'm like, what? I don't understand the question. What the fuck do you mean?
How much is a C drive?
Like 400 gig. I know what it is. It's VMs. Like, because you got to burn 80 gig per VM. And like, I've got like 6 or 7. So like, I get where all the space went. But also, I'm a reasonable human being who's used a computer at all in the last 20 years, so I know how to move files around.
Tell me he needs to defrag his hard drive.
The fucking worst.
Oh.
Well, our boss was over here helping me with it yesterday, but he had to go do something else, so he didn't finish.
Well, no, you don't need long-term help for that.
You've asked two people now?
Are y'all giving cloud space, or...
No. Like, our office is the fucking Wild West. Like, you can do whatever you want to. So there's like, no security
anywhere.
If you
wanted anywhere. To, like, just get a Dropbox, you can put it all there.
You can't do that for VMs.
Okay.
Because it's, like, running another computer. Computer. Yeah. So, like, needs to be all...
Okay.
I guess Dropbox is also local, so it would work, but... But it's one file.
Yeah.
It's one big, 180 gig file. Yeah. So it's a whole situation. Anyway.
But still.
I think we're moving past the point of this.
I haven't done anything exciting in terms of what I've been watching. I've just been rewatching King of the Hill. And which I like, but it also feels weird at this point. In our country, too. Because I can see it made sense when it was coming out to sort of... like, bring conservatives into the fold.
Mm.
And, like, present them in a way that's not alienating, which is great. And I adore the Hill family very much. And I love it. I love the whole show. But also, I feel like it, what do I want to say? It, like, lets people too easily make peace with a way of life and a way of thinking that... at this point might not be okay, but I don't know. I still love them all very much.
You should point that mic towards your face.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's probably a good call.
I got my eyes on you.
So yeah, The Last Days of August is about a porn star who says something questionable on Twitter and then gets dogpiled.
Wow.
And less than 48 hours later, she's dead.
Damn.
Apparently, by suicide, by hanging.
Yeah, we don't.
Wait, are we talking about a real thing?
I didn't know that.
Women don't hang
themselves. I'm confused. Wait.
I disagree.
What are we talking about? That's actually, it's actually pretty accurate.
Like, I'm not saying a woman has never, ever hung herself, but...
it's less frequent than a
woman. It hardly ever happens.
Okay, so women typically don't hang themselves.
It's less frequent.
So, like, if I hear about a woman hanging herself, I don't.
It's always questionable.
Outside, in a park.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot of really questionable.
Is this a real
bitches
story?
Don't do that.
It is a real story.
Right. I didn't hear the first part.
Well, see, that was just it. I didn't know.
This is really familiar to me. You know. After we turn the mics off, I'm going to relate to you a story where this happened to someone we know.
In the park.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Remind me.
Okay.
But yes, this is a true story, and there's a writer who is kind of investigating the whole scenario, and he's doing all these interviews, trying to get to the bottom of what's going on, because it all seems just so bizarre. And, like, he's talking to a ton of people in the porn industry, and, yeah. It's an audiobook that's currently on the Audible Originals this month.
Yeah, but women tend to not use such violent or like graphic.
Although I'm reading public. Public. Although I'm reading that the hanging thing is changing, so women are starting to feel more confident about that.
Well,
there's an upswing feminism. In
you know what?
This is what feminism. Here we are.
There's never been a better time to be a woman. Hangings back on the table. Fucking glorious.
Supposedly it's the same like in the black community because it too closely like brings back memories of like lynchings and stuff. So.
Yeah. I can see that. I never considered that. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I am enjoying Sharp Objects. I have two more episodes to go, so I don't know. It's only 8 episodes long, also. Well, Amy Adams is really good.
She usually is, though. Yeah. The guy I was talking to at work who was talking to me about it is also an idiot, so.
Well, there you go.
So.
But they do the weird... This one actually did the St. Louis geography a lot better than some of them do. Some movies and TV shows do. Cause
like, what was that show? Independence? It's a sci-fi show a couple years ago.
Defiance.
Defiance.
There it is, yeah.
Yep.
Where I was like, I don't recognize any of this.
The Arch. Well,
it's also post-apocalyptic, isn't it?
Yeah.
What does it have to do with...
No, like... Because, like, isn't the river dried up and...
Okay, but you would still see that there's a riverbed.
Yeah.
Actually, the geography that they had at the time was like the Arch was like up on a hill, so like either St. Louis or East St. Louis was like a valley.
You can justify it however you want, but if you're gonna set it in a city that we all know, why wouldn't you
but make there's it no more city. There's no more city. It's
underground. It's just but the they Arch. They go to like the place where the city was.
Yeah,
I don't like going to the place where the city is now.
I love the city. You suck.
Typical.
Yeah, Gone Girl fucked up the geography really good.
Nice.
Because they were driving from somewhere in Missouri to St. Louis and ended up crossing the New Stan Musial Bridge. And it's like that's not how that works at all.
Yeah.
But it was where they could shoot. Like they got like the bridge hadn't opened yet, so that's why they were able to shoot on it. So next week, Polar.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. They had a big sale on Audible this past week, so I bought a ton of shit. The first
surround yourself with books you're never gonna read.
I'm plowing through them. Well, the other thing is I'm going to be going to a lot of Holden's show choir competitions. 3.5 hours away on a Saturday, and then I have to come 3.5 hours back on the Saturday.
Gross.
So I'm going to be doing a lot of like road trips.
You know what?
So I'm going to be listening to a lot of audiobooks.
That guy should get a license.
He should. He doesn't have to drive. He's going on a bus. I'm going to...
Oh, just to go?
Just to go.
Oh. What do you want?
He gets to go on the bus.
What do you think about that? Hmm? You want to go on the bus or do you want to drive with Tony?
Nope. He does not like cars.
What?
No, he hates cars.
Aww.
He starts whining and crying and yawning. Because you're talking about going somewhere in a car.
No,
you don't
want to
do that.
Hey, I love how close we are right now, but you're going to have to get your paws
All
off my balls.
All I wanted to do was wipe the water off your nose. Was that so hard?
Kaylee, do you have food in that bag over there? How about you? Do you have food in the bag?
Wow.
It's just a little prick, isn't he?
I felt like he was trying to sell me a timeshare.
So I did just listen to Amy Poehler's autobiography. Yes, please.
It's good.
That was good.
I didn't like it as much as Bossy Pants.
Agreed. I have been surprised by listening to Felicia Day's autobiography.
I can't do that. You know how much I fucking hate Felicia Day.
I find her fascinating after listening to her autobiography. It's really good. 4.0 double major in math and violin. She started college when she was 16.
Okay. Has she jerked off into a cup?
Probably not. But maybe.
Well, I'm not reading her autobiography to find out.
Well, I won't tell you then.
Good.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Anna.
This is Kayla.
This is David.
We are the Backseat Producers.
Wow.
I think this is episode 471.
Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are we going to pack this in?
I want to at least hit 500.
Go. Mm, a half year. Another year.
Probably a year.
What are you talking about tonight?
Glass.
It's good because I watched it.
None of which is at this table right now. Maybe the cell phones.
The cell phones have glass on them.
This is a pretty good start.
Good night.
Yeah, a lot of high energy here.
Well, Tony's supposed to... Hey, David, what did you think?
I enjoyed the movie, Kayla.
Awesome. Hey,
that
Anna.
That was your high-level review of Glass?
Yeah, it doesn't take 10 minutes.
Hey, Anna.
I was disappointed.
Oh, Tony?
The longer the movie has sat with me, the more I've come to enjoy it.
Hmm. I'm with Tony on that. That is
the
correct opinion.
I almost saw it a second time today. And, because we were off. And so I saw Unbreakable kind of first thing. I felt like I needed to rewatch that. And then thought about going to the movies and watching Glass. But I fell asleep instead. So I didn't.
That's fair. Naps are a solid plan. Kayla, what did you think?
I was super excited to see more James McAvoy.
Did you see... Oh, sorry, let me
No, no, there are some things with this movie that didn't sit well with me. I don't even know if I can list them directly right now, but hopefully it'll come out as we discuss.
All right.
Also, the cut of the film you saw didn't have any James McAvoy.
There was none! None at all!
It was actually just, like, looking outside. I just saw glass.
Did you see SNL with him hosting this week?
I didn't.
Last week?
I didn't.
There is a very sweet Mr. Tumnus.
Ooh.
I didn't see the Mr. Tumnus and one. His nipples. And, like, oh my gosh.
And his nipples?
Yeah, no.
Oh, pursuant to the nipple discussion from yesterday.
Yeah, no, I didn't bring it up last night because that was, like, a tender, tasty tidbit that I wanted to save for today.
A little morsel.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, no, James, I almost messaged you as soon as I saw them and was like, have you seen James McAvoy's nipples?
We did talk a lot about nipples yesterday.
I held back.
You had nipples in reserve.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've reserve been, like, nipples. Treasuring his nipples for the last 4 days.
Well, I was purely interested in him as, like, from the point of, like, an actor.
Oh,
like, oh.
Sorry.
Until. I was watching this movie.
Yeah.
And then I realized that I have a thing for James McAvoy. Yeah.
And then when he puts the horns on and wears furry pants, then.
Say no more.
No, please.
I'm Googling it right now.
Please say no more.
All right, how are we going to fuck this pig?
Ew. God, cancel the whole show. Turn this off. I'm leaving.
It's Black Mirror.
I'm calling an Uber.
Oh, it's Black Mirror and Letterkenny.
I would just like to say that I'm not fucking any pigs.
So I'd love to know what parts got better as they sort of...
What are you doing?
As they marinated.
16 is the worst age.
Yeah.
You're the worst.
I think it was just how it all tied together.
Okay.
The whole story tied together.
Okay.
I have one problem that I haven't reconciled yet. There was a lot of little ones that I did, like the problems I had while I was watching the movie that just kind of either went away as I thought about all three movies or like they just stopped bothering me as much.
Okay.
But the one that I still, that I have the biggest problem with is Mrs. Glass. Mama Glass.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem I have.
Okay.
Because I was always under the impression, they do kind of allude to it in Glass, that she was always aware, and she always knew. Mm-hmm. But I also kind of got the feeling...
Knew that he was doing bad things?
Yeah. But... like, with Unbreakable, I thought that she was more involved. More involved than just passively knowing he was doing bad things. Like, she gave him the push.
Oh, interesting. What an Unbreakable...
She gave him the comic book.
Yeah, but...
But also, it's not like he was doing much else.
And, but she also protected him.
Yeah.
Oh, as a mom is never gonna
right.
do.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess my sense was she had her son and she, like, needed to get him to get into something like you do with kids when they're, they have issues. So she gave him this comic
book. She gave him issues.
Yeah. She gave him some more, which often happens. And so she gave him this comic book, and he really got into it and got into this way of thinking. And I just assumed he had his little room off where he was doing his stuff. And she was like, oh, yeah, that's Elijah. He's got interesting things going on.
Yeah, but I still kind of felt at the time that there was more there. And also her makeup wasn't good.
In the new movie or
yeah,
the old one?
Okay. In the new movie.
Yeah, they didn't handle like, that well.
I actually don't know why they had to do the makeup because it has actually been 20 years. Yeah, like
the problem
but
was
she hasn't cracked enough. Her black didn't crack enough.
Black don't crack. So
the problem was is they actually aged her up in Unbreakable. The first time you see her in Unbreakable,
she's a young mom.
She's a young mom, and she didn't have any like they didn't de-age her to make her a young mom.
Yeah.
They aged her up to make her the modern day.
And then she's
older
like
mom.
60, essentially. If she was 20 when she had him, then she would have been like 60 at the end of Unbreakable, which would make her 80 now.
Right.
And that's true, yeah.
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 And I think part of the problem is having watched True Detective and
I know.
His makeup is so good.
Oh, yeah.
The makeup is impeccable. Like,
the makeup's good, but his mannerisms are also, like, spot on.
It's him, too, but, I mean, it's just not... You don't have the caked-on wrinkles that you see. And
yeah. If that doesn't win awards, there is a serious problem. Or something is just incredible coming. Mm. But yeah, that should win awards.
Yeah, well, for makeup.
Just for makeup.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say there are other things going on with that I don't know. But
We're going to have a talk. We're going to have a talk about that.
Okay. I mean, I feel like I've told you how I feel about the new True Detective season.
No, you've been curiously silent on the one piece of it that I feel like you know. I'll be upset if you have bad things to say about it.
No, I have no problem with telling you what I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just totally trashed... What was that show? Oh, the movie Watchmen?
Your biggest complaint was the music.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I can say bad things about Watchmen, I can say bad things about True Detective.
I agree.
Anyway, we don't need to get into our stuff. Let's... Oh! This isn't that. So, back to Glass.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't even know what we're talking about. I pulled up James McAvoy's filmography, and I'm just planning a mental list of movies
I'm going
to binge.
I can't wait for
the
ads that I'm going to be getting now.
It's all just for James McAvoy's
nipples.
Some utter butter.
It's fine. It's fine. We're all fine here.
I have been meaning to watch Atomic Blonde again.
We didn't fucking talk about Star Wars.
We will. All right. It's coming.
It's coming.
Oh, no, and the podcast is already over.
We're in the middle of something now that isn't James McAvoy's nipples. They
like
haven't
that.
Arrived in this discussion yet.
I don't want to hear about... anything that isn't being between James McAvoy's nipples.
I'm going to ignore the spoilers thing because it's dumb and I don't want to do it.
What spoilers thing?
We usually don't do spoilers early on in case people...
Oh, I was going to... I was about to start
that
the...
in a while.
I was going to start it because this whole movie is ruined for me because they're obviously setting up for more,
There's no more.
Yeah, so that's part of my whole...
He said that he's done with the universe. And I'm actually perfectly fine with that.
Yeah.
I don't want any more from this universe.
I don't want any more from him.
I want more movies with
James McAvoy.
Not just James McAvoy, James McAvoy in this role.
Well, he's dead.
Yeah.
I know. That was the point. Is the spoiler is he's dead. Like, the character is killed.
But that doesn't mean we couldn't go back.
I feel like it does, though.
And watch it again?
Like, look at his childhood.
Right, yeah.
Take it in a different direction time-wise, if you wanted to.
But James McAvoy wouldn't be young.
But I feel like...
But he's not going to play a child. Also.
He doesn't have to play a child.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could be set, like, even a couple years before with, like some, like, flashback, magic.
Anyway.
Childhood.
And then him in the flashback. Twist! He's got that Benjamin Button disease.
No, I'm really fine with no more movies in this universe.
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, me too, because James McAvoy is dead. Kevin is dead. Okay, one of the biggest problems I had with this movie is Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
I don't remember her real name. It's Casey something.
Yeah.
Begins with a K. Sure. And her sudden, like, Stockholm syndrome with Kevin. And she saw Kevin, like, Kevin.
Yes.
For, like, 30 seconds. And suddenly they have this deep connection that she's going to fucking Black Widow the Hulk now.
Yeah,
like, she just touches him.
Sun's getting real low.
Sun's getting real low, buddy. Did you stop saying that?
Do you think so? Okay.
Let's just talk Thor Ragnarok.
This is what I was struggling with Casey, because that's what I thought at first. This is just Stockholm Syndrome. We're going to go into some narrative about women and their love and them needing to endanger themselves to save their, like, asshole dudes. But then it almost seemed that she was a tool of the police to get him to calm down enough. So was she working with them? And she, meant for that to happen?
That was the other thing.
That she essentially went in to get him to slow down so he could get shot.
Whoa, but, like, that doesn't explain why she, like, because she'd been there multiple times independent of any police.
Yeah.
Right, and then at the end, like, the police didn't shoot him.
Who was it that shot him? Somebody.
The SWAT team that came.
It wasn't the SWAT team either. It was that organization.
Yeah, but said SWAT on there. Yeah, that's true. There was somebody in the organization, but who was dressed as a SWAT team member.
Yes.
Okay, so fine. That's not the point, though.
But the SWAT team, that organization also manipulated her in that whole situation.
But was she really being manipulated, or did she understand that he was going to die? Because she didn't seem confused upset. She was sad. She was crying, but she didn't seem no.
Yeah. It wasn't a shock, yeah.
It was, let's move out of the way. He gets shot in the stomach.
And then she holds him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I assume that she went in under the orders of...
Dr.
Uzi,
what's it?
Ooh, I didn't...
And I didn't, that
she directly has a conversation with her.
She does.
She says, you're the only person who can, the lights won't work anymore. You're the only person who could, which was stupid to me. They didn't do enough work establishing why that is. Why is she the only person who can calm, except that she's got, like, big doe eyes and they briefly interacted
once
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
She's the only living person that has been, who has communicated with Kevin.
The only living person in the world?
Well, that they have access to. Because the doctor's dead. The doctor was the only one
She only had an interaction with him. There wasn't... But they didn't establish why she would have such a strong emotional connection.
Her motivation.
Yeah.
For why she would care.
Why does she show up at the hospital at all?
And why doesn't she have any more... Because that's one of the things that I thought Split... I had a lot of problems with Split.
Ooh.
But one of the things they were reasonable about was... like, doing trauma semi-decently. And that goes away here. Like, she has no PTSD. She has no, like, trauma stuff after a whole fucking ordeal.
Yeah.
Also, it's only been, like, a week.
Three.
It's three, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, people get to have trauma. And okay, you're right. It doesn't get to fully, but still. Like, to be like, well, 3 weeks ago, I was, like, tied up in a... And everybody else was killed, and now I'm gonna go
and in
save
between,
this person.
She's also gone through the entire ordeal of having the police remove her from the custody of her uncle.
Yeah.
and then been placed in some new home.
Yeah.
Right.
So something fucked up needs to be going on with her.
Yeah. So like the 3 weeks have not been a calming 3 weeks.
Yeah. I think the fucked up thing that's going on with her is that she's still like attached to this situation.
Yeah.
Like she's like, I get the sense that she was empowered by what she did with her uncle.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time with Kevin, then with her uncle. Now she's like, she's put one monster to bed,
mm-hmm.
and she needs to see this through. She needs to see that monster. She needs to make sure he's locked up.
Yeah.
He's not going to get anywhere because she's seen what he can do.
Yeah.
So I think that's what draws her back.
Okay. Which I feel like maybe I'm just being thick about it, but I felt like I needed a little more of her thought process and her feelings, because otherwise it looked like Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. If they had established and split more of a connection between them, which they could have very easily done, easily, I would have had less of a problem with it. But this, it just feels like unearned. Like, in what world, what, like, mental health facility like this would allow her to go into that room with him?
Well, that's part of
And that's
why this isn't a legit mental health.
See, I had a lot of problems with a lot of things leading up to that.
Yes.
But when they revealed that it's all being run by the secret organization, it's like...
Okay, yeah.
Okay,
but
well...
But it's not. Not all of it. It's just her.
But her wing of it
is...
Like her little section.
Pretty sure it's still just her.
Like the orderlies don't seem to be in on it.
Yeah. And like even when they're fighting in the courtyard, she's like, let's just not talk about this with anybody and we'll all just stay inside.
Well, the thing is, she has a little section that's her research.
The wing.
Area with her three guys.
But none of those guys seem in on it.
No, I'm not talking about the workers. I'm talking about, like, Bruce Willis.
Okay.
So, and then basically the two people watching over, it's the security guard and then the guy who's, like, in front of the cameras, and he switches off with the one other guy. And so those two are not in on it, which is fine because they're probably, like, employed by the state anyway because the whole thing's a state facility. But I felt like... it being a state facility, the looseness which they were doing everything only made sense, because that was driving me nuts. I wanted to scream at the beginning of the movie.
Oh yeah,
with how they were handling some stuff, and only makes sense if it's somehow not a regular space, and then so some of these slips and protocol get slide by.
I mean, but even considering that it's a shadowy organization. Their security was awful for these people that they know they're trying to trick into thinking don't have any superpowers, but they know it's actually true. Like, yeah, sure, they've got the flashy light bulbs, but why would it constantly be dark? Like, those hallways would not be dark at night in a place like that. And why would you only have one person watching these things? One person in that entire wing where... it took them forever that next morning after what was his name? Daryl or whatever?
Mm-hmm. The dude,
Tall orderly?
Yeah.
Dead orderly?
Yeah.
After his throat has been slit and he's been bleeding out for hours, like...
yeah.
It takes her forever still. She's in there, she's talking with the family of these people. Oh, what's this? I've got a notification here saying somebody's in the tunnels. Oh, let me go check the security now. Wait, literally nobody has been looking at this? That person's dead. That person's dead. Like, it was just, like, even for a weird organization running it, it was just like...
yeah.
I could see minimizing the staff to prevent security risks. The two physically capable, superpowered people... they had locked down. Were it not for Glass, Mr. Glass, they wouldn't have gotten out.
Yeah, but they know he's capable.
But they thought he was heavily drugged up.
But why have just one person when you could have nobody? Yeah, one person general, is essentially nobody.
Because that's essentially, you're right, because it was his job to take them their meals as well. Mm-hmm. So if he's taking meals, then essentially no one is in front of the camera.
Right.
I thought it was bad. Yeah, I just, but at the same time, it's like, I couldn't tell from the beginning whether or not it was just sort of, because that's one of, like, M. Night's many weaknesses, is he's shit at, even when he's at his best, he's shit at exposition and sort of setting things up. And sort of the practicalities of setting things up. And yeah. So I just assumed that that was a weakness there. But then with the shadow organization, maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
Halfway through, I bought her bullshit.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah. That it was fake? Like
halfway through, I thought the twist of the thing was going to be that the other two movies, he just happened to survive the train, and the Beast was just a bad memory from What's-Her-Face. Mm-hmm. Like, the trauma had given her, like, these weird, like, a super exaggerated memories of him, like, climbing on the fucking walls and all
like
that other shit.
The the physical.
All of it, yeah.
Yeah, because really the only thing that's unexplainable.
Incredible.
It would have been incredible.
The only thing unexplainable was the physical transformation.
Yeah.
Because they explained him climbing on walls. They explained.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but even not necessarily, that's not outrageous, right?
Right.
Like, because exactly. You, like, children tend to exaggerate the demons in their lives.
Right.
Like, everybody becomes more imposing. Mm-hmm. And, like, if you're going to make someone physically intimidating, like.
Well, especially after you've just seen your friends killed.
Yeah.
Well, not your friends. But
I mean, the physical part that they couldn't really explain away is the fact that when he turns into the Beast, he gets those bullet wounds.
But if you take Unbreakable and Split both from the perspective of unreliable narrators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, yeah. And I think that would have been amazing.
Yeah, it would have been fucking amazing. Which is why halfway through I was like, is this real?
Yeah.
Is this a thing?
No, that's where I thought it was going to go. And I was actually okay with that.
Yeah, me too. But then it was
I never thought it was going to go there. And the only reason why is they had Bruce Willis chained down during that three-person interview, which, what was that about? That didn't make sense to me. But they had him chained down, so I knew that they knew. Like,
that's when the doctor talks to Kevin, by the way.
What does that have to do with anything?
She's the other living person who's talked to Kevin.
But not before. She wouldn't have developed an emotional attachment to him to calm him down.
I mean, to be fair, neither did Casey.
Neither did Casey. Casey was such a weak character. And I don't mean weak like she's not a strong person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Because what weakly developed.
Yeah. She just is. Like, I had the same problems with her in this movie that I did the last one. Like, she just did a lot of, like, wide-eyed looking at things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, she gives you the impression that she's waiting for her moment, but she's just not doing things.
Yeah.
Everyone's superpower is that they can stare. Everyone.
I mean, it would have been really easy to do the thing, right? Like, the obvious thing is the Beast gets a connection with her. She goes back to her uncle. The Beast kills her uncle. Like, that's the easy connection there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's real simple to do.
If they had added a couple more scenes in Split developing their relationship, for her to understand that this, because most of her interactions with him, he's a bad guy. Like, he's abusive and, like, he's doing the bad things. It's only a couple seconds where she sees him as not that. So, but if they had given her more scenes where she can realize, oh, this is actually who he is as a person. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, the Beast, like...
I mean, it would even work out because, like, her uncle was big into playing animals. Mm-hmm. Like there was a lot of thematic closure you could get for having that be the second-to-last scene. Mm-hmm. And then the David Dunn scene could be, oh, this dude was mauled. Like, they found this girl, and then it was mauled by this man-beast thing. And then he rolls up with his fucking coffee at the end of Split. Mm-hmm. You know, get M. Night on the phone.
Why don't we write movies?
It's on our tagline. We don't do that.
We just talk about it.
If they had made it so that it really was all in their head.
That would have been so fucking
good.
Yeah,
I think that would have been great.
I actually really liked the lack of exposition in this. I honestly did. And there were a couple of scenes that... When they're happening, you're like, what's going on? And then you sort of forget about them. And then it all comes back at the end. Like when he jumps on the computer and he's doing something on the computer. And he's like writing code. Like, or he's doing something. And then like I completely forgot about that until it comes back up at the end.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I completely forgot about it too.
Yeah.
I didn't like What's-Her-Face's like over-explaining that moment where she was like, she literally just explained everything we were just shown.
Yeah.
And then she went and screamed in the hallway. I was like...
So I don't have a problem, just to sort of make it clear, with a lack of exposition with him. It's the way he does it. I was noticing that more with Unbreakable, and then realized it was an issue with a lot of his movies. He sort of has characters just sort of explain a thing who aren't in a position to, like, who kind of shouldn't be saying that. For example,
Like, what in Unbreakable?
So in Unbreakable, so in the beginning, the doctor who comes in, like, looks at the baby and is like, did you drop him? And then is like, he had no business and could not have known to say he sustained injuries in your uterus. Like, why would you say that before an ambulance comes, before any of that? But it was just to essentially explain his situation. But the doctor would have no way of knowing that. I mean, child abuse would be the obvious, like, you know, and even now, like, people with that, like, kids with that disease or disorder, like, their parents get falsely accused of child abuse all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes when they're undiagnosed. And so, like, that was weird. The teacher moment where she talks about, like, him having drowned and kind of, do you still have your phobia of water? Are you still phobic of water? And just the way she said it was like, are you trying to trigger him? You know, she just, and it was so we could, like, pound it home that he's phobic of water. It was almost over exposition. Mm-hmm. And then by somebody who shouldn't have been doing that in that way.
I liked the general unstructuredness of that first half because it gave the space for, is this a thing?
Yeah.
Or is this a made-up thing?
That part I did enjoy.
Because if it was any more structured, it would have been like, oh, this is clearly not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
And I had high hopes for it until the end, exactly because of that. Because a lot of times his movies are so, I don't want to say tightly structured, but they're formulaic.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually catch on, and I like him more or less. Like, he sort of, no, he tickles me in all the right spots, but I just...
Oh, so more.
Yeah. But I also...
More, not less.
Like, hate myself for, like, liking The Visit, for liking The Village.
I didn't see either of those.
Don't.
I don't plan on...
I mean, and so it... But yeah, and he's so formulaic, and he didn't do that here, and I was happy until the end. But
I like the misdirect with his parents, mm-hmm. with James McAvoy's parents.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because everybody was jerking off about how the woman in Unbreakable was his mom, and then he's like, nope, fuck you, it was the dad. He was on the train. Mm. All right.
It could still be both, technically.
Which woman in Unbreakable?
He brushes up against someone, and he gets a flashback of like, a kid being abused.
Oh.
That's, like, that fan theory was that, like, that was...
Could have been. Yeah.
Yeah.
It very well could have been.
Yeah, but he never...
You'd have to go back and see exactly who he brushed against.
Yeah.
To see if it's even... it would even vaguely resemble.
There's no confirmation of that, so it's still just a... But there is confirmation where his dad was. It's on that fucking train.
You're just waiting the whole movie for somebody to touch glass. Like, just like, please don't. I can't deal with him. He falls off. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's so... But there's always a scene, like, he falls out of the wheelchair. Oh, it's so gross. Yeah. And you know, like, he's so... I mean, they do that on purpose. That's part of the whole tension, is he's so delicate, and then you have the beast, like, who is not delicate.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all.
With anything.
I had to Marvel it up by having a fight in a hallway.
Yeah.
Every one of the fucking Marvel Netflix shows has to have this incredibly long hallway fight.
Some of them are really good.
The choreography on them is pretty amazing, but... I'm tired of seeing longer. A 10-minute fight in a fucking hallway.
I feel like the entire end scene where they're basically, like, executing them, it, like, the way they shoot the scenes, and I'm trying to, like, imagine where all the characters are, like, it's a lot of close-up, like, like almost portrait shots the whole time. There's not a lot of like landscape, and it's hard to get a sense of like map awareness. Like, where are these people? He would have that, like, Joseph would have seen his dad being murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Why was the doctor allowed? Like, she just walks up to the mom and is like, "Can I talk to them? Like, just privately, you know?" And then she's like, "Oh yeah, sure." Like, and then walks off just in time for the big reveal to be given to him. And then she's like, "Okay, peace out." And then the mom comes back. Like, and then Casey's holding Kevin somewhere on the side. Like, it just felt like just the map awareness was wrong. It was off. I don't know how else to describe it. Like,
I think they meant to do that, though, because I think it was supposed to be a disorienting scene.
Yeah, but it was just, it was disorienting to us.
Yeah.
But I feel like it would have been far less disorienting being characters in, like, yeah. Where was Joseph when his dad was being murdered?
Weren't the cops restraining him?
Yeah.
Were they? I don't recall seeing that.
He was in between where the SWAT van was and where that fight was taking place. Because we saw where the puddle was.
Mm-hmm.
During the fight. Mm-hmm. And that was, like, off over to the side.
Yeah, but then he just kind of runs up and, like, pushes them. Like, I don't know. It didn't feel proportional.
The images you're describing, though, of how close-up they were, it was very comic book. Like, the way that whole sequence was shot was very comic book. Like, the framing.
That sounds an awful, like unsatisfying.
No, it's just that they, like, those extreme close-ups just to really get intimate with the
face,
with the action at that mm-hmm. moment. They didn't pull the camera back so you could see the layout. They got right up in their face so you could get involved in the moment of them dying.
Yeah, it was emotive, not logistic.
Yeah,
because the logistics of the scene don't make any fucking sense whatsoever.
Yeah,
because it requires that every one of those interactions is alone, but
there's also, like, all not at the same time. Well, and they're also simultaneous.
But there's also like two dozen people in a very small area. Yeah. So no one is alone and there is nothing hidden. Everyone can see everyone else. So, like, that didn't make any sense. But also, not a whole lot of fucking things in this movie made that much sense. So I kind of had to roll with it at some point.
Why did that orderly stay in the room flashing the dude over and over?
I thought that was weird too.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Because it almost seemed like it was almost just to let us know how the lights worked.
Yes.
For him.
That was 100%.
But for so long? Like, we really only need it once or
twice. Yeah, once or twice. And it didn't fit well with, because they, like, weirdly enough, I felt like there were some issues with characterization here. But they seem to work real hard with this orderly, with him being all about, like, natural food and blah, blah, blah. To, like,
give us, talking about security guard about give his us vitamins.
An image of who he was, and who he was, like, as this sort of woo-woo hippie guy didn't fit with, like, flashing those lights more than necessary.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was weird.
It would have made sense that the protocol is flash the light, get out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, you can just leave the room.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and also the idea of, like...
Stop talking to me!
Because I think there was a point where, like, he left the door unlocked. And it's like, doors like that aren't left unlocked. You close them and they lock.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Yeah.
And so...
I knew the one orderly was going to die. Because he...
was dumb.
No, he was malicious.
Yeah, he was a dick.
They showed him threatening glass, so you know he's gonna die. I felt bad that the other one did, though. He didn't deserve it. Why would he have come in and sat down on the bed, though? And why would Glass have known he was going to do that? To slice his throat.
Well, maybe he watched his...
And what if he had just, like, wha-pow, and then Glass just, like, his arm just, like, shatters.
Yeah.
That whole...
Well, and who the fuck has, number one, pictures in frames with, like, actual glass fronts are, like...
They wouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, they wouldn't be allowed, and you can't get them at Walmart anyway. Like, I don't think... Like, usually there's plastic nowadays.
They would definitely not be allowed.
And they definitely would never allow them in a place like
that. I was thinking about that, about the clothes that they brought in to, Kevin, because didn't he bring like a stack of clothes? He's like, they told me to bring a lot, and I was like, that seems like a liability in a ward like that.
See, and
like, you don't usually don't even get real clothes.
The glass in the frame, it It all ties back more to mom, though, because she would have been the one to bring that.
Yeah.
And but, she's been visiting.
Yeah, I would have been like, sorry, mom, you can't give your dangerous son a dangerous weapon, a potential dangerous weapon. You're not even allowed to have shoelaces.
They didn't have that problem with the catatonic patient, though. That was...
Yeah, but
they knew that he was only catatonic sometimes and that he was really clever and he could get around it. Like, his whole...
Wasn't it only that he was catatonic sometimes? I thought they just kept him drugged up.
Yeah, like
full stop.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, but the thing is, it's not even a matter of, like, which patient. That's not something you have in this space at all. Like, because, you know, what if somebody else comes in his room? You know, like, there's just too much. You just don't fucking have glass in a... Which, I don't know, maybe we're probably digging too much into that, because, yeah.
Nope, I'm on board.
The logistics don't make any sense.
Yeah.
They don't make sense for, like... most everything in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, the girl doesn't make any goddamn sense. Like, the son makes sense, I guess. Like, that seems reasonable enough.
Yeah.
But, like, everything in the hospital makes no goddamn sense. The plan that they are going to try and rehabilitate these people and convince them that they don't have superpowers instead of just killing them makes no goddamn sense.
It doesn't make sense for Kevin or Glass, who are criminals. Yeah,
but it makes sense for...
It makes sense for Dunn.
David, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does it? I mean,
they want him to stop...
Because he's not a bad guy, quote-unquote.
Yeah, but they want him to stop doing his vigilante justice thing, if they want him to believe that, once again, that he's a mortal person who can die at any moment.
But their goal isn't that the other two are bad and he's not a bad guy. Their goal is, we don't want the idea that supers are real to get out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you kill them...
If you kill the Unbreakable Man... He's clearly not unbreakable.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, and like it says an unbreakable, just because he hasn't been injured doesn't mean he can't be killed.
Right.
So...
He's allergic to breathing water.
I feel like murdering him in some ways almost justifies and would create a martyr situation.
And also, this is like, they pretty well established that this is a new experiment that she... That she has planned. She's trying to find a more humane way. And the impression is that they've been dealing with it the way you're talking about previously. So this is like, hey, let's try this more humane way of dealing with... That's why she's like, hey, did I almost convince you? As he's being waterboarded.
Yeah, but like, you don't have a society that's done this for thousands of years and be like, let's make this half-ass attempt. Like, this is the plan.
Right.
We're going to send the one person to go do this thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Doesn't make sense that it would be in an existing facility like that with other civilians.
Yep.
They could have easily had... They're an organization that's been around for... How long do they say?
Thousands of years.
You know they got that money.
Yeah.
So they can get a bunker somewhere, convince them that it's a, like, regular mental hospital.
Or don't.
I mean, they would have to if they actually want to convince them that...
Yeah, they'd have to convince the criminal justice system that it was, because that's essentially where they got them from.
Right.
Yeah.
So they'd have to have ties with the...
Yeah, but the people in that room looked pretty fucking connected.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like the legality of it was...
Yeah.
Was mutable.
I'm not even worried about the legality. If they want to
convince them,
they have to make it feel and look like a real mental hospital. So then when they get out, they can be like, oh, I spent this time in a legitimately real...
But also, if they already understand that there are people with superpowers, like, okay, so David Dunn's kind of a fucking idiot. I'm fine with that.
Kind of.
Kevin's, like...
Beautiful.
Certifiable. Like, legit certifiable, right? And,
So,
but who got together and they're like, we're going to convince Glass that this is not real. Like, what? This guy?
Yeah, but the thing is, a lot of the people paying this money probably don't know the ins and outs of him.
Sure, but here's what I'm saying. I have a superpower.
Yeah.
So what's your first question?
What's your superpower?
Mm-hmm.
These three people think they have superpowers. What are their superpowers? Well, this guy can't be hurt. That guy turns into a human monster. And the other guy is, like, mastermind smart. We're going to convince that guy he's not mastermind smart. Wait, what?
But they also
You literally just can't do that. Like,
yeah. But the plan wasn't just to convince them. It was that
it was the
realized it wasn't going to work. So that they were going to do whatever the superpowered lobotomy, whatever that.
Yeah,
they were like cutting out the super part of their brain.
But not really, because they didn't open up his brain.
I think they lasered it. Yeah.
They thought they were lasering it, but he took out the.
He swapped out the lenses. Yep.
Yeah.
He put in the butt lenses.
The Bofa lenses.
He still would have got a laser of some sort to his head. So I don't understand what happened.
Listen, it was a machine. They don't really
explain what was happening.
Yeah.
It was a machine.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to do something.
Anything.
And he
kept it from working.
I had the feeling that it was like...
Logistics or not?
Some kind of treatment that was supposed to be done.
I think you're thinking too hard about... All right. It was a light machine.
Yes.
That was supposed to... It was supposed to pray the gay away. That's what it was supposed to do.
And then he swapped out the prayer.
Yeah, he swapped out the... Now he's gaying the prey away.
I think it would have been better... Because I write movies now.
Punch out the movie.
He had started his escape plan already. Gotten the beast into a position where they're going to take him to get a literal lobotomy. Mm-hmm. They're like, at this point, like, you can't... Like, we just have to do it. He's on the operating table. And then the beast, like... busts in.
Nipples everywhere.
Nipples blazing.
Blazing.
25th personality.
And 26th.
And 26th.
The metamorphosis is staggering. They just continue to grow.
Then they have conversations with each other. They're both James McAvoy.
Two little James McAvoys on the big James McAvoy.
And on both of them, two more nipples.
Two more James McAvoys.
It's the UN of James McAvoys.
Okay, so you've got the normal size James McAvoy. You've got the two tiny James McAvoys. The two tiny James McAvoys have Sam's nipples.
They're so small. Just so small.
Stop nipple shaming.
It's not shaming.
20 cents.
So I don't. I mean, I've talked about this before. I'm not big into the whole hero thing or superhero thing, and I was interested in. And something I was a little disappointed in was the fact that they didn't really dig into the true enemy being the banal. Like, it's basically... Because the idea was... Like, my takeaway from the film was it's not about you, like, heroes versus villains. It's about powerful, extraordinary people versus people who keep insisting on... who insist on keeping things status quo.
Yeah.
And they just didn't dig into that as a thing. In general, that, you know, a lack of tolerance, I mean, which is kind of what The Incredibles is all about, and it does annoy the mess out of me, but I mean, that's kind of, if that's where he's taking things, then he just didn't do anything with it.
Well, so he's not taking it anywhere, he's taken it, it's done.
Okay.
But you only find out about the secret society in the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, but you could have had, like, that theme still brewing before you even found out about the secret society.
Yeah, but I don't think he wanted to do that.
Okay.
I think that was, like, not what he was trying to do.
So what was he trying to do?
I'm not really sure.
Okay.
But it was too late in the game for him to introduce that and then do
the
something.
The implication is there's this large organization keeping the status quo, like you said, and that, like, comic books and... such are like clues almost, like, but the fact that this organization isn't good or evil, which is what they claim, like, this isn't about morality, this is just about, like, these, how, like, if there's one of you, eventually there's gonna be another one of you. Like, if there's a superhero, regardless of if you're good, like, you're a good person, just your existence brings about, like, a supervillain. So we have to get rid of both of you. Like, just this, like, constant, like, pruning of...
So, thematically, though, Unbreakable starts that chain.
Yes.
Because that's Glass's whole deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, you close the loop at the end mm-hmm. where, like, Glass's intent is to create David Dunn.
Mm-hmm. And this organization. How does he create David Dunn? When he gets on the train, isn't he already unbreakable?
Yeah.
But he doesn't know it.
Oh. So but something catastrophic has happened.
Yeah, he's triggering the understanding that he is unbreakable.
I think he could have done it another way.
Well, I mean,
other way.
The irony is that he is trying to turn him into this, but the thing that actually turns him into the superhero is he is a supervillain, mm-hmm. which makes him become a superhero, mm-hmm. right? So closing the loop at the end of this is the society. Yeah, if we get rid of both, then we don't have to deal with either.
Yeah.
Right.
So like thematically, I get it. It's just that you can't start that theme and then do nothing with it and then close that theme. And have it make, like, narrative sense.
Yeah.
Like, that's extremely unsatisfying. Like, I get what he wanted to do, but you needed to do anything in Split with this.
Yeah, Split is where it falls apart. Because if you think about it, like you said, that theme of, like, this circular whatever, and then it being closed, it makes sense for it to happen, but you're right. In the middle, in Split, it's that theme completely falls apart.
Yeah. And then for like the first 90% of this movie, you have to do anything with it.
Right, because they only bring it back, you can only tie it back to Split by saying, oh, well, he also created the Beast because he did this one thing back in the first movie. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Unintentionally created another supervillain, creating a hero, so it's like this doesn't really... makes sense, and then you got a Devil's Three-Way, so they're playing a drinking game.
Classic Devil's
Three-Way. I think it's just a matter of seeding, though, because they did a good job in Unbreakable of seeding that whole theme throughout the movie.
Yeah, because like that was the twist.
Yeah.
Which was great. Like that was the whole point.
That was the whole point of Unbreakable.
And so the point was clear in Unbreakable, whereas here
it's not.
Like, yeah.
Even when they do the exposition at the end, which is awkward and terrible. It's still not good. Like, it doesn't feel satisfying in any way, shape, or form. But, like, it could be a cool thing.
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It just was less than that. But.
So what did you like about it?
I liked the potential. Like, I liked how it was a mess in the middle, and it had the potential to be a lot of things. And it was ambiguous enough that I could not tell midway through whether or not they were actually supers.
Mm.
Like, I liked the ambiguity, and I liked how she was fucking with them.
I liked the expectation that we were going to go to that building.
That was fucking awesome.
Chekhov's building happened at the beginning of the movie, and it was like, something's going to happen at that building, and we've got this whole King Kong thing that we've got, we're building to. So, I'm fully expecting, like... when they go outside and you see the building, it's like, all right, I'm ready to get on this train. Let's go to the building and have the big showdown.
Yeah. Nope. Well, parking lot.
Wow. That like that surprised me, but in a really good way.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
I liked that that subverted my expectation with that.
Yeah. So my watch now, like when I move my hand, the face turns on.
Uh-huh.
So like I was moving in the theater like a normal human person does, and so the watch face comes on, so then I like was looking at it and I could see the time and I knew how long the movie was.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're not going to this fucking building.
Yeah.
There's no time to go to this fucking building.
Yeah.
Isn't the implication at the end though that it's sort of like a broadcast tower or something?
Yeah.
That broadcast this message, so it
It still came into play,
but not in the way you expect.
Yeah,
I actually thought that the showing the video footage was really fucking dumb. Like, I've been to the internet now, so like if I see a video of some dude throwing a car, my just default assumption is that it's not a dude throwing a car,
right?
And very
or the
little
dude running on all fours,
very little is going to convince me that
that is
a real thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, there was nothing going on there that, like, if you went to YouTube, you couldn't, yeah.
So, like, this whole busting this case wide open moment did not happen for me. So, like, them sitting in Central Station.
Yeah.
Just waiting felt bad.
Yeah.
If they'd ended before that, I would have been...
I was okay with it. I was okay with it because it ended in the same general place that the movie began. that the series began on the train.
Yeah, no, I liked bringing it back to the station. Yeah. I loved that. Yeah. But yeah, the sort of trust in the internet and people's and shock value and people's responses to somehow bring about justice.
I also think it kind of undermines the central theme. Like, if you're going to close the loop by having the society kill them to maintain the status quo, undoing that doesn't really make any fucking sense. And I get that it's like Glass's master stroke about how he's going to fucking stick it to him, mm-hmm. but okay.
Yeah, to me it would have been better to just have them succeed. Like, like this is just a thing that's been happening forever, and it is a thing that will continue to be happening, and...
Yeah, like, this is just how humanity has been.
Yeah, but also I like that Glass was that good, that he got it over on him. Like, I enjoyed that.
I feel like if
there was a catharsis in that even though he knew he was dying, he still won.
Not for me, because Glass was still a villain. Like,
Glass never saw himself as a villain.
No, villains hardly ever do, but he still is. Like, David doesn't know. And we're here all the time telling him.
Yeah, I'm the hero. You guys are the villains.
Right, okay.
I mean, he doesn't see himself... He sees himself as the villain, like, in the whole, like, dynamic.
Yeah.
But he doesn't see himself as bad. Or he sees himself as...
Necessary.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the same conversation we had for Unbreakable.
He seems pro the extraordinary. And that's where I feel like the extraordinary versus the banal comes in. And it's like almost like they're creating a new sort of thesis, antithesis, synthesis.
Yeah. So I always looked at... I always looked at Glass and his motivations, not that he was villainous, but that he was the antagonist. He knew he was the antagonist of hero, but he never saw himself as villainous. He knew that he had to play the role of the bad guy in the story. Yeah. But that was just to create... Mm-hmm. A situation where his body happened for a reason. Mm-hmm. It gave a reason to his existence, mm-hmm. being what it was.
But I feel like, isn't that what villains do? I mean, isn't that what Satan did?
Like Thanos?
I
mean, it's not, that's it's, like Thanos' it, MO.
Yeah, it's not about like hating people necessarily. It's about being willing
to make the hard decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And for your self-realization too, often for selfish reasons.
Like, the righteousness that comes with I'm the one who has to make the hard decision is, I think, where you cross that line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I guess when I'm saying villain, like, I don't want to say that he doesn't see himself as bad. I mean, yeah, he doesn't see himself as bad, but I mean, it feels... Yeah, good and bad isn't even a part of it.
To be honest with you, I can't even tell if we're talking about this movie now or if we're talking about the Verve Pipes album Villains. Continue.
I'm not familiar with that album, so...
Yeah.
It's one of the freshmen's on. It's very good.
I know the song.
The problem was, like, these are great themes that I don't feel like there was enough substance to deal with.
Yeah.
Like, he focused on some things which I thought could have been cool, but he didn't close the deal on them. He wasn't always be closing. He was never be closing.
I don't know. For me, I think that's why the longer it sat with me, the more I'm okay with that. Like, I accept that there wasn't a solid resolution to those concepts, because I can still ponder the meaning of them in the story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like I was spoon-fed answers, except for the parts where they were
spoon-feeding you.
It was spoon-feeding me story, but not necessarily answers to the themes that were broached. Not always delved into, sometimes just skimmed. But
I mean, sort of the same thing happened in Split, right? Where like, they had this really good theme of, like, trauma and, like, how that changes you.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't ever feel fulfilled with Casey. And then we were, like, hoping that it comes back in this movie. And then it never does. Like, her only, like, extraordinary ability is that she gets to de-Hulk the Beast just to kill him. Like, she doesn't even get to do what she wants.
It was
like,
Beauty that killed the Beast.
Ugh. Is the it's, beast a penis? Is that what I get?
No, that no it's King knows? Kong. But no. It's Bofa.
Ligma.
It's Bank of America.
But yeah, she never gets any, like, or exerts any real power, I feel like. Not in a way that feels actually, like, empowering or legitimate. It's just, I can touch Kevin's arm and Kevin comes out.
Also, can we talk about a weird fucking scene in the beginning of the movie? Trench coat poncho man is wandering around this factory district looking for these fucking cheerleaders. All right? He brushes up against James McAvoy, which I assume is just some sort of frauderism thing he's got going on. I know it's not actually that, but I just wanted to use the word frauderism. Okay? So, he is at a taco truck, then he wanders off, so David Dunn goes and finds the cheerleaders. Okay? Why does James McAvoy go find some hobos and then strip off his clothes to turn into the beast in this hobo den?
Because he doesn't want to get his clothes messed up when he murders them.
But why go to these hobos?
Why does he have to go so far that specific place?
Yeah.
It would have made more sense if I went back to the train yard.
Yeah, like what is going on here? Why are these hobos?
Well, I mean, maybe there's always tasty hobos there, and so that's just where he was used to going.
But that's not his deal, though. His deal is that he's looking for people who have had too easy a life and don't have the scars.
Yeah, the hobos wouldn't have.
They're broken.
Yeah, people. Right.
I forgot
pure.
About that.
They're
yeah.
pure.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just hanging out with the pure people. Maybe he didn't kill them.
It's the church.
I didn't.
Hobo Alley is
I assumed he didn't
church.
Kill them.
Yeah, I assumed he didn't kill him either.
Yeah,
like,
he would have had a reason to.
Yeah.
So I also like the thematically that he was that the broken ones were pure.
Yeah.
But he's literally going against the unbreakable man.
Yeah.
I dug that.
Well, they do. They literally say that because when he's killing the second orderly, he says you should. When he's preaching something and he says something about glass and he refers to him as the broken, like,
right.
And that's like,
yeah,
like high praise.
Yeah.
Does he ever use that verbiage in Split? I feel like if they had peppered that in, like specifically saying broken.
I think it's there. I'd have
to rewatch it again to see.
We could.
I thought he just talked about.
Could call
Scar.
Holden down. I think he's memorized the movie. Ew. So.
Yeah, I know he talks a lot about it, like pure, impure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember specifically if the word broken was used.
I
but if it is,
suffers.
I think suffering. If they use broken, that would be very, like, I would enjoy that very much. Because for him to meet Glass and be like, you're the broken.
The brokenest.
The brokener.
And he did have the M. Night Shyamalan shot that he does in every fucking movie, which is the shot over the entryway to a door where he pans in and down and out or going back in and up. He does it in every movie. It's a signature shot that he uses.
Great. Maybe you should have spent a little more time developing themes.
Mother truck, you're the broken one, Tony.
Who said that?
Oh, God well. Damn it. We summoned him.
20 Cent. 20 Cent in the house.
You can feel the conversation about nipples.
All right. Can we talk about Star Wars for a minute?
David told me something interesting about Star Wars.
Bum, 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 bum.
Drunken Sam is here.
Yeah, so last Friday night, my Christmas present was finally fulfilled.
You say finally, like I withheld it.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you did. So myself, David, and Sergio went to see Star Wars the Symphony, which was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
The like, I wasn't expecting them to do the Fox fanfare at the beginning.
So
I got a kick out of that.
They commit, but didn't do the cantina music.
Right.
And I don't know if that's because there's like weird instruments in the cantina music that they just don't have.
The only other thing I can think of was it was a sound issue because they would have been playing over the sound because like there were certain pieces that were stripped out. Like there were times when we could hear the action on the screen and like sound effects were cut out.
Yeah.
Like laser blasts and stuff just were not there, but dialogue was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm wondering if they had certain tracks that they could and couldn't cut. And maybe just because it was ambient sound in the background, they just couldn't cut it.
You're working up to saying it. You can't. It's hard, isn't it?
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard.
Look, but they didn't have the dude with labia for a face. What? Sam said. They didn't have the dude with a labia for a face and his sexy fucking oboe thing. Hence,
you mean Figurin' Don?
Hence, no cantina tunes.
Sam, his name is Figurin' Don. Look it up.
I like labia for a face.
Figure it out.
Figure it out.
What were you saying? I'm sorry.
Anyone who wants to nitpick any of the other Star Wars movies needs to seriously go back and watch A New Hope in theaters without their phone in front of them, watching the fucking movie.
This fucking guy right here.
Because there's some serious problems with this movie. Serious problems.
It's not a good movie. It's just not a good movie.
There are massive holes.
Just
nice.
Gaping.
It's sandy. It's coarse.
He fucking walks in. We all know the scene. Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper? He takes off his helmet. I'm Luke Skywalker. I've got your R2 unit. I'm with Ben Kenobi. She jumps up and says, "Ben Kenobi?" and runs out. She's never used that name before. Luke didn't even put together that he's like, maybe Ben and Obi-Wan are maybe he knows him. That's the same last name.
I mean, Luke does put that together.
Luke does. Only after Ben tells him.
Yeah, I mean, before that, he's like,
Obi-Wan. So do you think he knows him?
Like the hole that Vader breathes through?
Yeah.
Jesus, Tony. I'm just imagining him saying it like David says it.
Yeah.
I did not have that big a problem with that. Like, my dad was also really worked up about that scene. And I was like, they have the same last name.
When was the last time you guys watched this movie?
A while.
I've probably 5 years. Because okay. I watched it with Holden.
The dialogue maybe even is just before that.
The dialogue's not great.
When was the last time you watched it?
Decade, maybe? Okay. I mean,
I'm just trying to get a gauge.
I have a deep love of the movie.
You especially, like, are always jacking off about Star Wars.
Okay. The movie is not good. The movie is not good, but cinematic, like, if you're looking at cinematic history, it is critical to the development of film cinematically. Like, this movie made a lot of things. Like, this movie has been spoofed, parodied, copied, and templated a million times now.
It also created a ton of special effects that we use. Like, they didn't exist before the movie did. They had to be created for the movie.
No, I understand but all this.
The biggest problem I have is that this is a movie for children. And there are 40 or 40-plus-year-olds who look at this movie as the end-all be-all. And they compare current movies to an idealized version of this movie that is not accurate.
Yeah.
Like, The nitpicky stuff that they go through doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, it just doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Timeline doesn't make a lot of sense.
Because it happens over 2 days.
Yeah. Like, at most, it's like 72 hours. At most.
And, like, this is why The Last Jedi was so important. Like, because you've got these 40-year-old dudes who grew up with this movie who don't understand what this movie was. And so The Last Jedi is all about, this movie is for 12-year-old you. You cannot live the rest of your life as 12-year-old you. You, like,
so
have
we're
to...
we're going to literally kill these people.
I mean, Luke doesn't get killed.
What?
Luke doesn't get killed.
He dies.
I didn't say he didn't die. I said he doesn't get killed.
I wasn't... When I say we're going
like
to kill
movie
these...
Kills.
The movie kills.
Oh, okay. All right. The characters, yeah.
All right. Because he goes the route of Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
The Matrix is a similarly less good upon review movie, but it was the first time that shit had been done. It dealt with what is real and bullet time, which was parodied for years.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't think most people argue like the historical value of these movies.
No.
What gets frustrating is especially when you're like, I'm not a big Star Wars fan because I didn't watch it when I was a kid. I don't have that, like, nostalgia filter. And going back to watch them now is almost unbearable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not unbearable. It was hard to watch.
It's
not
stayed away through an entire...
The even, like, fraction of bearability, let's call it... bearableness, if you will, that you're feeling is from, like, a nostalgia filter. Like, if you had no emotional connection to this movie, would you still be like, yeah, like, I want to watch this more?
I almost can't make that statement just because it's, I mean...
It's impossible to disconnect from.
I grew up with the movie, so...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is like...
Yeah.
I will never watch this movie with the same... I'll never watch this movie again with the same eagerness that I would watch Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, yeah.
Thor Ragnarok is also flawed.
It is flawed.
Also flawed.
A flawed masterpiece.
Less so. It is significantly less culturally significant.
Which is unfortunate because I want a culture
where this
based around Thor Ragnarok.
And I don't think it's any more or less flawed. I think they're just differently flawed. I think they're just differently flawed.
It's like going to the museum. You know, the last time I went to the museum was 20 years ago.
What museum? Because
Our art museum. Because I appreciate like the cultural significance of that art, but I like just don't want to watch it regularly.
They have some good, like, they had
modern stuff. I mean, Kevin D. Wiley's there now.
They just had an exhibit on, like, the little black dress, like, and how that's evolved
was
over time.
Was that at the Slam, or was it at the, I thought it was at the History Museum.
Was it the little black dress one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right, actually.
But still.
This is the Star Wars of whatever it is we're talking about now.
The point is that... I will still get excited watching Star Wars. I'll still love the experience of watching Star Wars. For me, it was more poignant to see that I had a filter for some of the things that to be quite honest, at 10, 12 years old, I could have given a fuck about.
Yeah, like, they got laser swords.
Yeah, right? Right?
They got fucking laser swords.
Good against remotes is one thing. Laser
swords. It's just frustrating when people... don't understand why you're not like super into the original movies, because if you weren't like at a very specific like intersection in your life when you saw it, it just doesn't hold the same ground.
I feel like you're trying to convince me of this thing that I already agree
no,
with.
No, I'm just talking. I'm okay. Just not everything's a confrontation about for you're you.
Like aggressively hitting the table.
Is this aggressive to you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'll try to be less emotional, a little less irrational.
So watch your tone, Kayla.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, David.
And make sure that you...
No, I get that,
too. No direct eye contact.
Oh, I see. I say I feel threatened and everyone just makes fun of it. Is this the kind of thing we're going to do now?
Yes, because you were not being threatened.
Okay.
See, I completely get your point because that's how I feel about The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Like, it's not for me.
That movie is dumb. That's the difference.
You're dumb. I don't like that movie. I understand that a ton of people absolutely adore that movie, but it's not for me.
To me, it's like Final Fantasy VII.
Get going.
Pitter-patter.
Pitter-patter. Like, the people who hate on it are too much, but I can understand how somebody now... who hadn't played it when it first came out, like, you wouldn't be interested in it. It just, like, it doesn't hold up today.
Arguably, all the JRPGs of that genre don't hold up anymore.
I mean, arguably, any video game of that era wouldn't hold up today.
Super Mario Golf Toadstool Tour.
But Final Fantasy specific, because Final Fantasy was, like, revolutionary in its time. It was one of the first games to use the graphics that it did, if not the first. It was huge. Like, we hadn't seen something like that. Do you see those polygons? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Oh, I saw.
Oh, yeah. I bet you did.
I saw Tifa. I didn't see Tifa.
Like, you can say the same things about Final Fantasy that you can about Star Wars. Yeah. Like, culturally.
It let me rename Barrett, and I named him Fatty Cake every time.
My brother would get super mad at me because I would name them all in uppercase.
You're a monster.
He hated it. He would yell at me. My mom was like, "You can name him whatever I want." And I was like, "Yeah, James. I can name him whatever the fuck I want."
All uppercase, one lowercase letter in the middle.
Ugh. Yeah, it's frustrating when people canonize these films they grew up with and hold these things to unattainable standards. It's different for each generation, and I'm confident that there will be someone who thinks Grown Ups is a classic.
I don't even know what that is, and you know what? I'm not going to engage on it.
I don't think I've seen Grown Ups.
I mean, so it's interesting that you bring up Final Fantasy, because, like, it's such a staple that the evolution of the Final Fantasy games have become less and less interesting as they've gotten, like, I don't know if it's a representation of where, like, gamer culture has gone, because, like, if you look at Final Fantasy VII, it's like a 60-hour game. Like, dude, it's like reading a fucking book.
Yeah.
But if you look at the latest...
That's a long book.
It's a long book, right? If you look at the latest Final Fantasy game, it's like you and three of your gay buddies on a road trip. It's just really awkward because it's like playing an MMO, but without anybody
else.
Alone, that isn't interesting.
I don't think I've touched a Final Fantasy game since 14.
This was, I think, Final Fantasy 15, wasn't it?
I don't know what one you're talking about. After the one I picked up, I played 10 hours of it and I put it down.
It's the most recent one, where it's the four boys in the car.
There's 10, 10, 2. I didn't play 11. Or maybe it was 11. It's 11? The one with the chocobo, with the dude with the baby chocobo in his afro.
That one was dumb.
Yeah, I stopped playing after that.
Yeah.
I have played exactly 3 Final Fantasy.
Which ones?
1. Gross. Ooh. Actually, it wasn't 1. It was Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy.
Yeah, you played that was on a stone tablet.
Yeah. Then there was Final Fantasy 2, which apparently was like Final Fantasy 4.
Yeah.
Something in America. Like that, in America. Like that, right?
And then, like, I won a copy of 1 when Stingray and Sam were here from their game show thing that they did at Archon.
Yep.
It's like 12 or something like that. So, like, that was one I played. They're, like, riding around on this, like, space cart. Yeah, and there are these refugees.
That sounds, yeah.
And I played that game for, like, 12 fucking hours. And I felt like I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, because you were, like, on a bridge that was not supported by anything. So, like, you were a literal railroad without tracks.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one was fucking...
That was that game 13, like,
no, 13 is the one I'm thinking of.
That's the one with the guy with the bird in his hair, though.
I don't know. All I know is I kept getting into fights.
I only played 10 hours of it, and it was all...
And I just had to keep pushing one button.
Yeah.
Like, oh, and now you're going to throw a grenade. Push the same button you've been pushing. But, okay.
Yeah. So, like, Eric was playing this, and he's like, after 20 hours, you get to a village, and then you can, like, explore a little bit. And I was like, what the fuck?
I was out way before that.
I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't think... I made it maybe 12 hours. And I think about 4 of those hours me sleeping on the couch.
Listen, you can't go back and play Final Fantasy VII. You just would not get into it.
They're remaking it.
I've been hearing this for we've been talking about this for 2 years. We've been getting excited about this for 2 years. You know what? This is the King Killer Chronicles 3rd book, which is never coming out. This is next...
Oh, I just got the first book on that sale.
I believe.
This is the... Next 4 books of The Gentleman Bastards, which is not coming out. It's
book
the last
6 and 7 of Game of Thrones,
which is not coming out. I'm tired of people doing this to me.
What sucks is that the sweet spot is 7 through 10.
It is.
7, 8, and 9, they're beautiful stories.
Yeah.
Like, after that, it just completely falls off. 11 might be good. I never played it, but...
Isn't 11 the MMO?
Is it? Yeah, I think you're right, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. 10 is... 10 is layered with fucking symbolism and is, like, thematically moving.
Yeah.
There's a twist in the plot, and then you get there and you're like, psh, holy fuck, I forgot how this story started, but now we're here again.
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah. And the characters are all fucking good. I just replayed 10.
I would replay 10.
I did. I would, less than a year absolutely. Ago.
And I would recommend 10 to most people.
Yeah.
7 is harder, because even though, like, I have such an emotional attachment to it, I can see how it's, like...
Yeah, those polygons are a big turnoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But 10, like, the graphics are, like, the graphics are timeless in that they are cartoony, but cartoony that fit the world.
Yeah.
They in a don't way that hit, doesn't age.
They don't hit an uncanny valley, but they, it doesn't feel too primitive, really.
Yeah.
That's Final Fantasy.
Ugh.
Yeah. I remember.
You're talking to somebody who has a Dragon Warrior tattoo. I don't need to be shown Nintendo game role-playing.
Wow.
I think Dragon Warrior predates Final Fantasy. I gotta look that up now.
That's a big...
It's a bold claim.
Bold.
Dragon Warrior. So I guess, don't get me wrong, I love Star Wars. However,
I believe that the neckbeards that complain about the current ones and start nitpicking the hell out of them just need to shut the fuck up.
It has no basis in fact or reality. They're just grabbing onto whatever they can possibly because they feel threatened.
Mm-hmm.
The Whammons are taking their characters that are rightfully theirs.
They cut the balls off of Luke.
Yeah. I think what they did with Luke was beautiful.
Yeah, I do too. I love it. Like I loved the character when I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I needed at 7.
And I love that character now at 47. Like, yes. You know, it just...
This is what I need from the character now that I'm 100 years old.
Yeah. Like, that was what I needed from that character now to look back on it and say, yeah, this was some fucked up shit.
Yeah, Luke grew up.
Yeah.
He grew the fuck up.
The Jedi were terrible. And they even showed that in the prequels.
Like, yeah, they just weren't good people.
No. There were good people within the organization, but the organization itself was problematic.
Look at my fucking luxurious hair.
I'm sorry, you're just playing with your hair so much. And you were talking.
Tony was talking.
You were both going back and forth talking. What the fuck?
Jealousy is very ugly on you.
Oh yeah, I'm jealous of your luxurious hair. I thought what they did with Luke was beautiful.
Yeah.
It's because it was. That fucking shit-eating grin when he's drinking that milk.
I'm actually very, very excited for the last movie.
Me too.
I can't wait to see how it all comes together.
I can't see how they own those liberal men.
I can't wait for the master cut of Split and Glass that is just James McAvoy.
His nipples.
How many more characters did we add in this one?
I think it was only two or three.
I wish they had done more on that, like, because they said that there were 10 members of the Horde, whereas before there were only 3-4 if you count the Beast. Patricia, Dennis, Hedwig, and the Beast.
No, there was... In Split?
Yeah.
There were 11? Because Jade shows up, Barry...
They're not members of the Horde.
Okay, all right. Sorry, I thought you were meant the whole...
No, yeah.
Sorry.
No, because a new identity comes up, and he's like, yeah, I'm Team Horde. Like, I wish they had done more to either show that the other identities had been convinced, or that these new identities had arisen. I think convincing the other identities would be more interesting, but...
It's also only been 3 weeks.
You can more easily convince them than you could completely produce new.
Not that I want him writing it, but I would love a novel that is just the...
butt stuff.
That all takes place within Kevin's head.
Mm-hmm. I would love...
And it's set in those 3 weeks.
Where is this going to go?
True Confessions.
A novel really takes out...
A picture book.
A novel, but it's a movie.
So James McAvoy is listed in this movie as Patricia, Dennis, Hedwig, the Beast, Barry, Heinrich, Jade, Ian... Mary Reynolds,
yeah.
Norma, Jalen, Kat, BT, Kevin Wendell Crumb, Mr. Pritchard, Velida, Luke, Goddard, Samuel, and Polly.
My favorite is the fucking credits where it's just all those names and he's next to it.
Yeah.
Ugh, every time that shit gets me.
His performance was incredible.
So it's 20 identities incredible. When there are 24?
Wow. So they added like 8 or 9 more?
Yeah, because they only show a handful in the first one.
Well, because most of those, we see a lot of them in the video cuts, in the video clips.
Yeah.
Right. Regardless of the experience of seeing some of the cracks in Star Wars, watching that movie with a full orchestra was amazing, especially with the talent level of the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra. Just there were times where, like, I'm watching the movie and, like, why can't I hear the dialogue very well? The sound mix on this isn't it's because there's a symphony playing here. I mean, it's just so perfect that, like, you kind of lose that you're watching it with a live symphony. There's a lot of swiping going on over there.
These fucking people, man. Like, we're doing this migration, and, like, we're migrating from one place to the other, and so I have to be in contact with this third-party support, and I'm like, okay, we're doing this migration, right? And he's like, okay, so you're going to migrate the data. Yeah. Okay. So, did all this shit in our, like, test environment. I moved the stuff to production. I go to import these settings and shit, and, like, I can't import the settings. So I go back to the support guy, and I'm like, hey, this won't let me import the settings. He's like, oh, yeah, you won't be able to until we cut over. I can't cut over until I have the data there. So, like, what the fuck do you want me to do? Like,
nice. Yeah, so in our big group hangout the other day, it was brought up that the children should be adults and just take care of themselves. And I said something to the effect that one of them could do that, and the other one needs to cook a little longer. So today, how cold was it today?
Very cold.
Very cold.
-5?
Yeah. So I don't know what the temperature was around lunchtime.
I think
it was a little warmer.
It was a little, but not much.
I feel like when I looked at it, it was around noon, and it was
six
like
6 or 8.
Where I was, it was like 2.
Okay. Let's just give the benefit of the doubt. Let's say it was 5.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, let's just round up to 5. The kids are out of school today because wind chill got down to
blows
like
blows my mind.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh my god. If that blows your mind, you should see the grousing and complaining and just whining about the why can't they close the school earlier? Why can't they tell us when they're having conversations and what those conversations are about why they haven't closed the school yet? Oh, yeah, it's gross. The Facebook
thread. When did they tell
wait,
you?
If they're already in school,
3 o'clock yesterday afternoon?
Oh, so they told, yeah, yesterday. So it's not like they told you at 5 this morning.
No.
Oh, my God. Yeah. My district usually tells us, like,
at 8 a.m. yesterday,
oh my
they
God.
Were complaining that they didn't know by
today. For today.
Oh. So do they not do robocalls?
They do.
Oh, that's on
but
them.
This person wanted that. So everybody kept pointing out, look, the published policy is at about -30 wind chill, we'll probably call it. But there are other factors. Because, like, if the buses don't start or if there's a water main break or, you know, there's a million other reasons why you'd call school. But their published policy is at about -30 wind chill. So because the forecasted wind chill was like -26, -25 yesterday for today, all these parents, all these mothers of small children were like, this can't happen. They need to tell us. This one in particular was like, everybody's like, I'm sure they're having conversations. Why aren't they keeping us updated about these conversations? What?
How do you...
Do you want us to loop you in on the email list, Karen?
Yeah, would
exactly.
You like to
see, exactly. And Julie was saying
well,
the same.
Actually,
she's like,
she probably would.
Ugh, yeah. Gross. Yeah. Julie was like, I do not want more information from the school.
Yeah.
Do they not remember, like, growing up and you had to, like, sit down in front of a TV and hope that you maybe saw your school, scroll by.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I mean, and I get it because you have to figure out daycare the next day.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, 3 o'clock seems like a perfectly like as reasonable. Early as you can call it.
Most like, of us were out. Like, most of us were like, eh, they'll let us know by 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like, kind of what I was honestly, expecting.
Like, my district set mentioned it yesterday. Like, actually, it was already, which is might have been bad because our district called it like by noon.
Oh, okay.
The day before. So yeah. Maybe they were like, these other districts are calling it. Why aren't you?
Well, yeah, that was a little bit of it, but this was still at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my God.
Oh,
that's
it was
too early.
It was, yeah, it was okay. Crazy. So yeah, anyway.
You wouldn't even know. I mean, with our weather, you wouldn't even know if it's going to be.
Exactly.
It could be 60 degrees.
Like, which is going to be on Monday, yeah. Apparently.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
It's
call school because it's really nice out.
It's ridiculously cold. We had a discussion last night. Oh shit! Do the kids have food for lunch tomorrow?
Fuck them.
So we're like, oh no, we've got some toasted ravs in the freezer. They're good. Well, at some point before that, Julie's like, oh, we
you
could just
some
order
bananas and bread over yeah. There.
Julie's like, oh, we could just order them a pizza. Which Holden was like, yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. No, we've got toasted ravs.
Well,
I'm not going to order you a pizza.
He's 16. Why don't they just drive somewhere and get...
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Well, so here comes the story.
Oh, good.
Oh, I forgot the story was...
So it's not there yet?
What?
He doesn't have the license.
No. Oh, no.
I'm whispering.
I didn't want to be embarrassing.
Oh, no, no.
No, no.
No, no. This no. is... That's a okay. Completely separate story.
Listen,
I'll tell you that one in a second,
too. He's 16. He doesn't need to come down the stairs and walk around to greet us and then go back up the stairs to go to bed. He's 16.
So, I get home from work. Like, I'm setting shit down. I look over and there's a crumpled receipt on the counter. Cleaners were here the other day. We've been keeping things
tight.
Clean up here.
High and tight.
So I reach over to look at this receipt, thinking it was something that Julie had left from the day before.
Oh God, I hope
Sonic. $20 from Sonic. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
How do you spend $20 at Sonic?
Yeah.
$130. Yeah. $130.19. That's today. 12:19 PM. What the fuck is this? He got the story that he told, which I am not entirely convinced is true, is that he got on his bike and went there.
You cannot bring back $20 worth of Sonic on your bike.
And you couldn't have eaten it there because
no,
it's so
God,
cold.
No.
There were two drinks involved.
Oh, yeah.
So he bought... Well, it was for him and Aaron.
Oh.
Food for him and Aaron.
Oh. Yeah, but you're not carrying two drinks back on a fucking bike.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the story was that he
left
rode
at
10:30,
got there at
12:19. So what's the real?
Yeah.
Oh, he got somebody. He probably one of his show choir friends picked him up and drove him over there.
But then why not just say that? Like, is there a rule against that?
Because his go-to is to tell the story that he thinks will get him in the least amount of trouble, even if the story. That is the absolute truth will get him in zero trouble.
He just wants to make sure.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Telling
your bike in this weather
would have been
into trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm like, are you fucking insane?
Are you
like this is skin freezing off, losing digits, cold. You need
it's so cold. Your school called off. Like, why don't you ride your ass to school and learn something?
I went out last night in the cold and like I was breathing and I was like, why is the air burning? Oh,
right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it burns.
It was so cold
it
last
burns
night.
My mustache got crunchy this morning. Oh. Just walking from the. Yeah. It happens.
It does happen. Just, my hair froze this morning.
Yeah. So the other story about him driving, he's going to be. Auditioning for Les Mis. There's in August, there's a performance of it at a 18 and under only performance group. So he's trying out for Les Mis. That's his audition is in March. They start rehearsals in May. So it's like, you know what that means? means you need to be driving by May because I'm not driving you to rehearsals every day through the summer.
Okay.
Summer rehearsals.
Auditions are in March. Sorry.
Auditions are in March. Rehearsals start in May.
Sorry. I
thought performance in August. Yeah.
I lost the thread of time.
And if he gets in, he's not going to be coming to the lake.
Well, I will.
Yeah.
I also will be there.
No, Folden's not going to be there. No.
One less person for me to feed.
I got one of the nice rooms, too.
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's all the stories that I had, I think.
I don't have any good stories, other than I hate my work.
All right, then.
But it's bonus day tomorrow, so...
I'm still waiting for my W-2.
What?
Me too.
Yeah.
Like, they legally have to provide it to you by tomorrow.
Right. Well, they have to have it in the mail by tomorrow.
Yeah, see, I bet it's in the mail, and then... Well, no, St. Louis City did mail today.
Which
is horrible, but...
I know for a fact that ours haven't been generated yet, because when they... If you choose the print option, mm-hmm. it generates on the system, mm-hmm. and it prints and gets sent to you. So, like, I keep checking our HR system, and it's not there.
As of
4:30 this afternoon, it was not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had mine on the 11th.
Last year, we had it on the 5th of January. So
I don't really understand why it takes so long. Like...
No, really, as soon as the paycheck
it's not like someone's calculating this, anything. Right. Like, the numbers are... When they've paid you the last time they pay you in a year, the numbers are done.
Yeah.
Like, they're the same numbers.
Yeah. I think the only reason is if there's a system issue, because we have a third party software doing it, but
even then, I feel like if that's what the third party software does, like, they should be better at it.
It should be done by January 31st.
Yeah.
Considering that's the law.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, like, like, some of the IRS forms aren't done either.
Oh, that's true.
Like,
so yeah, maybe they're not feeling much urgency.
Like, you couldn't file a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
so
you could only file, like, 2 days ago, I think.
Yeah, it's
something 27th, 28th. Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully by the time this gets released, it'll be nice and warm.
Well, if the Democrats would stop shutting the government down.
Well, yeah.
Thanks a lot, Democrats. Got him.
My uncle posted that thing again, only removing the citation to the actual article.
That is legit.
The article he didn't read and doesn't prove his point, he just removed the citation from. Winning.
I just saw you tag him, like, what the fuck are you doing?
What do you mean?
On my timeline?
I argue with him constantly.
I know.
Out of your gaze. Arguing on the internet does not drain me like it drains other people. I fucking
so much.
Love this shit.
I've been trolling the gun nuts in town who are all bent out of shape because apparently Illinois is changing some laws.
Obama's taking their guns.
Yeah.
Apparently there's a new law being proposed that in Illinois your FOIA card registration can require that they can look at your public facing social media for problematic content, and it can prevent you from getting a FOIA.
What does FOIA mean in here?
Firearm.
Okay, all right. I was like, this does not sound
firearm
like-
ownership.
I feel like I can understand why that would bother people.
Oh.
Yeah, me too, because my uncle would not be allowed to have a firearm.
I mean, no, that would bother me, frankly.
Really?
Yeah.
This also would prevent people like that guy who said he wanted to murder all the women from getting a gun.
Which, no, that would be great, but I feel like there are probably a few things that might prevent him from getting a gun before you get to...
Be surprised.
Really? Well, I mean, but I'm saying there are many things... Like, common sense things I think we need to do to change gun legislation.
Oh, yeah.
And...
Oh, but no, you can't say that because then you're just a terrorist.
Yeah, but that particular thing seems like it could be really rife for abuse.
Oh. Yeah. Especially when we have police officers who are playing Russian roulette.
Well...
That story makes no sense.
Yeah.
That story just sounds like complete bullshit.
Here's the surprising thing.
I mean, maybe they were doing a hazing thing called Russian roulette.
Maybe it's a drinking game. like the devil's three-way.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Here's the crazy
Russian
thing.
Roulette?
That's not a drinking game at all.
That's not a drinking game. The crazy thing about this fucking Russian roulette story to me is that, like, the story was published. Like, because you know that this is not an isolated, like, crazy thing that, like, the cop... Like, this shit happens constantly. It's just that, like, you don't have a lot of cop stories published like this.
Well, she died.
It was because she was killed.
And he was on duty.
She was not on duty. Both of them were. It was his apartment, and it was 1 o'clock in the morning.
That's when I play Russian roulette. I keep winning.
Good.
One day I'm going to lose. But that day is not today.
Yeah, there's nothing about that story that makes sense. Like, nothing.
Well, that's because you hate the troops.
Troops are fine. She apparently...
Troops were coerced into a war they don't want to fight, so it's not on them, I guess.
And now they want to stay when they're told they should leave. Yeah, no, we probably shouldn't leave.
We're pulling everybody out of Syria. Please don't. Like, no, we're here. Please, we shouldn't leave.
Yeah,
like we want to.
It would be great for us personally if we leave. But yeah, we probably should.
That's probably a bad idea. Okay, fine. Abortions for everyone then.
All right. Anybody got anything else?
No.
Next week, polar.
Polar, like the vortex.
Like the vortex that we're living in. Boy, that would have been really appropriate for this episode.
Would have been. But I think I didn't see it until last night.
I haven't seen it at all.
No, I didn't see the. I haven't seen the movie.
Oh, okay.
I didn't even see the like ad for it. Yet. But then I saw Mads Mikkelsen. I was like, that's my James McAvoy.
It's not.
I haven't seen his nipples, so I can't make a decision.
Oh.
What if Mads Mikkelsen and Idris Elba scissored?
Why? I feel like there are other things.
Let me get this straight. Yeah, we spent 20 minutes.
I can make a long list of other things that they could do.
We spent 20 minutes talking about James McAvoy's nipples. Uh-huh. But the scissoring of Idris Elba and Mads.
Stupid.
Yeah, that's just absurd.
Guys are weird about scissoring. Like that's not that great. And then I don't even know.
First off, Jolie told us it wasn't ever a thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of people say it's barely a thing. And it's a thing in porn.
Yeah,
and it doesn't feel good. Like, it's very crampy and uncomfortable, and it doesn't feel good. And no.
I'm not the one doing the scissoring, so...
I feel like as a dude, you wouldn't need to scissor. Because scissor implies that, like, a... Like, the legs are, like, one up. But really, like... If you're just trying to rub junk, you just gotta straddle them. You just do it. They're right there.
You guys are just missing the fucking point completely.
No, what you said was absurd.
Yeah.
James McAvoy's nipples...
I mean, they can do some things together, but
the absurdity,
absurdity
starts at the scissoring.
Yeah.
Not Mads Mikkelsen and Idris Elba.
No,
I support that. It's the scissoring that's the problem.
The scissoring was the step too far.
Yeah. So you should not.
There is no step too far.
Sort yourself out.
Figure it out.
Wish you weren't so fucking embarrassing.
Unless they're trying to like touch taints.
Oh yeah, maybe they're like rubbing taints.
Yeah.
Like they're playing Androniarch.
And so
the taint lifter.
I mean, that seems also still unnecessarily complex.
Yeah. But if they, like, really want it.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, but maybe that's what they want to do.
They've gone next level. It's no longer just about touching tips. It's about touching taints.
Yeah. Maybe this is, like, an exploratory, like, is this a thing we want?
I'm about to say, you look at these two guys, you're like, they can't be doing normal sex stuff. This got to be some next level exploratory.
But there's a lot of like next level things before you get to like taint scissoring.
No, I'm saying the next level is shit. The next level is they're inventing shit. They're inventing new things.
No, but inventing new things isn't the same as like just pulling whatever like weirdness is on the top of your head.
Isn't it not though?
No. There's like better stuff they can invent. I don't even think, I feel like that they have more interesting imagination.
So do they have like a methodology then? Like if you're not just pulling stuff off the top of your head, it seems like then there's some kind of methodology involved.
For figuring out like what the next level is.
For what next level is. Like what level are they?
See, that's the problem. We don't know where they are now. But I feel like introduction of fire and sharp objects always takes things up a notch. So maybe they're
like a flaming metal hoop?
Yeah.
A flaming razor hoop?
Ooh.
I would be, yeah.
That seems like it jumps up a couple levels.
Yeah.
Like the combination. So maybe like
the two, yeah, the combination.
Like it was one or the other. Yeah. Like it's a skill tree. Yeah. You know, like you get flaming, you get blades.
Yeah.
And then there's the hoop option. Then you can start mixing them. Yeah. And then they all come together.
Yeah.
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 Just like are like actual gymnastics involved where there's flexibility or like feats of strength, you know, that's take another an automotive that's sort of feat, a different and then you sort can
add like a motorcycle
level.
Like,
oh yeah,
through the hoop. Get over it. Don't be jealous.
It's hard not to be. But it's like it's not a normal size motorcycle. It's like a tiny motorcycle, like the circus has, where they've got the big steel ball, and then like all the guys are in motorcycles. Like the
Shriners, drive, yeah,
like driving around the ball those tiny motorcycles.
But naked.
But naked. And the ball is not stationary. The ball's rolling around while they're driving inside the ball.
Scissoring.
Then they scissor. They fall off their bikes at the right angle.
They jump off their bikes. They like cross over.
And they land on each other's tape.
They're holding the bikes.
And then they spin scissor.
And the bikes are still like spinning. And they're scissoring in the middle.
Oh, yeah. So, like, the bikes are right.
Yeah, the
right
scissor, like, the that way.
Maybe
force
I would
nice.
Be open to some kind of trapeze situation.
Oh, you know what? No, I'm sorry. You're no longer invited because you scoffed at scissoring in the beginning.
Yeah, but if, like, you could have...
And you couldn't even conceive... You couldn't even imagine I think that the there problem could was, ever be a scenario where this would work.
You know what? I think the
I'm not
problem
saying
was...
it couldn't work. It was just absurd.
I told you it was next level, and you're like, mm-mm, I'm already
I think
on
the
all
problem
levels.
Was, no, I think the real problem was... Is the absurdity is that scissoring would be too pedestrian for how next level they would be.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they don't, I mean, once we're getting into like full circus situation, then it's clearly a show and it's not about feeling good.
Can't it be both?
I'm not sure that like taint scissoring is both, but you know what? I've never taint scissored, so.
Well, so a lot of judgment coming from over there.
I'm not in a position to.
Yeah, I guess that's.
Well, if you're going to experience taint scissoring, Idris Elba and Mads Mikkelsen are the two people you want to have the template from.
I'm going to stop streaming because I actually don't know that this content is okay on Twitch.
Whoops.
Oh, but man, if we can get kicked off of a platform.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
We got kicked off of Twitch for talking about who?
Who's Idris- we? Oh.
This is a hypothetical situation.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Idris Elba and Mads Mikkelsen.
Scissoring.
Taint scissoring.
I mean, here's the deal. So there was the dude.
I want that on my resume.
Who was driving Uber, who was streaming.
Oh, yeah.
The Uber drives on Twitch, who was not kicked off of Twitch.
Wasn't he?
No, he took his stuff down, but he's still. They
but
didn't kick him off.
But there wasn't any content stuff that.
But he posted didn't he get streams? A strike?
Maybe, but he didn't get kicked off.
Yeah.
He voluntarily removed the content. And he had like a little disclaimer on the side of his car, which kind of gets him around the single-sided recording.
Yeah.
I think they took off the... Like, I don't think he gets income from the stream anymore.
You can't monetize?
Yeah, I don't think he can monetize anymore.
Yeah, and they usually don't just kick you unless it's a big... You get strikes. Because they won't... Don't want to ban people because they want that money.
Yeah.
If they can get around kicking you off.
And they're not paying us any money. So that's
right.
Yeah. They're getting all that money from Sam listening to the feed.
Sam's hot page views.
And all the people who come back for more taint scissoring.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good night, Twitch.
Didn't we stream Tea Thanksgiving?
Did we?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, because I'm pretty sure we were drinking Tea Thanksgiving.
Drinking is fine.
Oh, that wasn't what we were talking about earlier. We were talking about nipples earlier, yesterday. Mm-hmm. Mm. Let's go home. I gotta go babysit.
Alright.
Alright.
Are we done recording?